This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, couples therapy that works.
What is the most disturbing deathbed confession you've ever heard? Story 1. My mom had been dealing with memory issues for about a year and usually didn't talk much. But one day, she suddenly started speaking clearly and told us a very serious story. She said that when she was a teenager, she had caused the passing of one of her friends. The way she told it was detailed and direct, and we were all just sitting there, shocked and unsure of what to think. A few hours later, she became quiet again. Then someone realized the story she told was actually from a book by an author she loved. We weren't sure if she knew what was real or not at that point. She passed away peacefully the next morning. Honestly, if she had known how much she scared us with that story, she would have thought it was hilarious. Story 2. A nurse once told a story about an elderly man who shared something heavy near the end of his life. During World War II, he and his brother both cared deeply for the same woman. Out of jealousy, he secretly messed with his brother's parachute. His brother didn't survive the jump. In the end, the woman married someone else, not either of them. The man said he carried the weight of what he did every single day of his life. Story 3. I saw a video where an elderly woman from Alaska shared a story from her younger years, back when she lived in Tennessee or somewhere nearby. She said her husband treated her very badly for a long time. After months of thinking about what to do, she came up with a plan. One day, she asked him to fix something high up in the barn. She had placed some tools under a pile of hay, and when he was on the ladder, she gave it a push. He fell and didn't survive. She called the police, and since this happened around the 1940s or 1950s, they investigated and said it looked like an accident. After that, she moved to Alaska and went on to live a very long and peaceful life. Story 4. Not really a confession, but something happened near the end of my mom's life that surprised us later. One of the last things she said was, "Where are my boys?" My twin and I thought she meant girls, so we told her we were there. She passed away shortly after. The day before the funeral, we got a call from a private investigator. They asked if they could speak with our mom. I told them she had just passed away, and the investigator said they were working for someone trying to find their birth mother. At first, I thought it might be someone trying to take advantage of us, especially since we were grieving. But I decided to listen, and the details they shared about our mom's past were things no stranger would know. We later found out that before marrying our dad, our mom had two sons with two different men, one from her hometown and one from Japan. Her early life had always been a mystery to us, and with her sisters having memory problems, we never heard any of it growing up. Story 5. I wouldn't exactly call it a confession, but it happened shortly before he passed. I used to volunteer at a hospice, and there was a man there who had serious memory issues. One day, not long before the end, he started acting like he was back in the Vietnam War. He thought I and another volunteer were his old army friends. He began talking about something terrible they had done after returning home. From what he said, it sounded like they had planned to hurt one person, but things got out of hand and more people ended up getting hurt, including the man's family. He spoke in a very calm and matter-of-fact way, like he was just remembering something, not reacting emotionally. He didn't respond when we tried to bring him back to the present. He seemed completely stuck in that moment. In the middle of explaining how they had tried to cover up what happened, he suddenly came back to his regular self. After that, he didn't talk about it again, or really say much at all. He passed away later that day, shortly before dinner. Story 6. I heard a story about a man in his late 80s. On the outside, he seemed like the perfect grandpa, kind, always baking cookies for neighbors, active in his church, and loved by everyone. But right before he passed away, he looked his daughter in the eyes and told her that he wasn't the man everyone thought he was. That's when the truth came out. He had a second family just a couple of towns away. Not just a secret relationship, but a whole second life, with another partner, kids, birthdays, holidays, everything. He managed to keep both lives separate for about 40 years. Neither family knew about the other until that moment. Story 7. When my great-grandpa came home from World War I, His family threw a big welcome party. But he noticed his 13-year-old sister was missing, so he went to look for her. He found their neighbor hurting her in a terrible way. He pulled the man off and told his sister to run and get their mom. No one knows exactly what happened next, but many years later, on her deathbed, my grandma said she had hidden his bloodstained clothes by burying them in the front yard that same night. The man was never seen again. In the spot where the clothes were buried, a beautiful patch of irises now grows. Story 8. This isn't really a confession, but it's a funny story about my grandfather. I was the closest person to him in the family. I flew home to see him, but sadly I arrived about an hour too late. He had already passed. When I got there, everyone started asking me questions. Apparently, right before he passed, he sat up in bed, looked around, and said, "Let me tell you a story. I'm not his name. I'm an undercover agent named Jonas McGilfrey. I've hidden $2 million in gold bullets." Then he laid back down and passed away. Since we were so close, the whole family thought I had to know something. I didn't. I used to skip school just to hang out with him and watch old silent films on VHS, but he never mentioned anything like that. A few years later, I found the answer by accident. He was a huge fan of Louis L'Amour, though I wasn't. One day I picked up one of the books just to see what the fuss was about, and right at the beginning, it said almost the exact same line. "I'm not name. I'm Jonas McGilfrey, and I've hidden $2 million in gold bullets." I gave the book to my mom, and she shared it with the rest of the family. It was such a classic move from my grandfather. He was always full of jokes and surprises. I miss him a lot, and I still laugh thinking about that moment. Story 9. Not really a confession, but there's a story in my family about my great-grandmother's second husband. From what everyone says, he was not a good person. He was known for being greedy and treating people, especially kids, very badly. My dad and aunt always told me that when he passed away, it wasn't peaceful. He kept staring at the ceiling and said he saw things crawling on his legs. He was yelling, "Get them off me. Don't let them take me." That story really scared me when I was a kid. Story 10. This didn't happen right at the end of someone's life, but pretty close. When I first started dating my wife, her grandmother gave me a serious talk. She told me I better treat her granddaughter well and never hurt her. Then she said something that seemed like a joke. She claimed she once added extra Tylenol to her husband's coffee, and not long after, he passed away from a major heart issue. I laughed it off and thought she was just trying to scare me into being a good partner. Years later, at her funeral, I brought up that joke, and my wife said her grandfather really did die from a major heart problem. That's when I started to wonder if maybe she hadn't been joking at all. Story 11. An elderly patient in his 80s once told me something during a hospital transport that stuck with me. He said that when his wife was near the end of her life, she told him the truth about their long marriage, nearly 60 years. She admitted to being with other people during their marriage, and even said she never truly loved him. She also told him that their only son wasn't biologically his. He was in poor health himself, and likely only had a few months left. I think he just needed someone to talk to. I still think about that moment a lot. Story 12. Oh man, I finally have a story to share. Back in college, I worked as an MRI tech assistant. My main job was to help bring patients to and from their hospital rooms for their scans. One day, I was asked to help an elderly Italian man. He was a big guy, probably around 6 feet 4 inches and 260 pounds, and seemed to be in his early 70s. He had early memory loss, but he was kind and talkative. We had a short but pleasant conversation on the way to and from the MRI. While we were walking back to his room, he started telling me that back in the day, his friends used to call him when they needed help taking care of problems. I innocently asked, "Oh, what kind of work were your friends in?" He said, "All kinds, but they'd call me when they needed help with someone." That's when it clicked for me what he meant. I gave a little nervous laugh and figured it was just the memory issues talking. When we got to his room, his 3 adult kids and their spouses were there waiting. You could tell they were sad about his condition, but they were kind and smiled as I helped him get settled and reconnected to his monitors. Then one of his daughters asked how he was doing. He replied casually, "I'm feeling okay. Just got back from the scan with this young man. I was telling him how I used to take care of things back in the day." Right then, all 6 of their faces went serious and slowly turned to look at me. I quickly smiled and said in the happiest voice I could, "Well, what a great story. Hope you all have a nice day." I never brought it up again. I don't even remember the man's name anymore. And honestly, that's probably for the best. Story 13. When I was about 10 or 11 years old, my grandfather passed away due to serious liver problems. He had always been cheerful and could function well, even though he drank a lot. I was alone in his hospital room the day he passed, and I remember being scared because he looked so different. He had lost a lot of weight and barely looked like himself. While holding my hand, he shared something that shocked me. He told me that his father, my great-grandfather, had ended—
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain, powered by BetterHelp, offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
The lives of four men using an ice pick because they had hurt a young girl and the law didn't do anything about it. He described the events in graphic detail, which was hard for me to process at that age. I didn't fully understand it at the time, but years later I told my mom about it. She confirmed that something like that had happened and explained it in a much softer way. According to her, my great-grandfather and his brother might have been involved in more similar acts. Some in the family believe they may have taken the lives of over 25 people connected to hate groups across Alabama, Georgia, and northern Florida. It's a story that stuck with me for 35 years. Story 14. When my grandma was near the end of her life, she was very upset and truly believed she was going to be punished in the afterlife. She said that 50 years earlier, she had taken some money from the church office to buy food for her 10 young children. What really shook my aunts wasn't the fact that she took the money. We all agreed that no good and fair higher power would be angry at someone who did that to keep their children from going hungry. What upset them was how deeply grandma believed she had done something unforgivable. It caused some emotional moments before she passed. Rest in peace, Grandma. Story 15. My mom's father once said he saw the spirit of his daughter, the one who had passed away a few years earlier, the day before he had a serious heart problem that ended his life. Later on, it came out that he had treated her very badly when she was a child. Sadly, my grandmother had known something was wrong but didn't step in to protect the kids. This truth didn't come out until nearly 20 years after he passed. And when it did, it tore the family apart. It was a really shocking and painful discovery. Story 16. This isn't as intense as some stories, but it always stuck with me. Growing up, my mom and her mother didn't have a close relationship. They were polite, but distant. Anytime we visited, it usually ended badly. Still, my mom really tried to give me a relationship with my grandmother. She wanted me to have those family memories. She did her best, but something always felt off. Over the years, little hints came out, but nothing clear. Then, near the end of my grandmother's life, I went to visit her. My mom didn't. As I sat by her side, she told me, "Tell your mother I always really loved her, despite everything." At the time, I didn't understand why that was something she felt the need to say. I didn't tell my mom right away. After my grandmother passed, my mom didn't show much emotion, and I didn't think it was the right moment. A few years later, we were talking on the phone, and the truth finally came out. When my mom was 5, she found out her mother's boyfriend was hurting her. Instead of protecting her, my grandmother tried to harm her, to silence her. A neighbor saw what happened and stepped in. My mom was then sent overseas to live with her father's mother while things were sorted out, and her parents got divorced. But back then, things were different. When my mom came back, her mother somehow got custody again. It didn't go well. My mom eventually ran away, lived on the streets for a while, and had a child at a young age with a much older man. I even learned I have a half-sister I never knew about. Once I heard everything, my grandmother's final words made a bit more sense. So I told my mom what she had said. She just replied, "Well, she had a strange way of showing it," and left it at that. Story 17. This isn't really a deathbed confession, but it's something I think about often. 3 years ago, I reconnected with a friend from high school. We were texting, catching up, and even working through some old issues from when we were younger. At the time, I was in college and working 2 jobs, so I didn't have much time to talk, but we still had a few good conversations. One of them turned to her sobriety. She told me she was proud of how far she had come and that she was staying away from harder substances. She said something like, "Don't touch anything but weed, Molly, or nicotine." At the time, I didn't think much of it and just moved on with my day. She had struggled with addiction. 2 weeks later, she passed away from an overdose. I still miss her. Story 18. One weekend, I had a patient with memory loss who kept telling me a story that stuck with me. He said that after the war, probably sometime in the early 1950s, he and his friends hurt someone and took his wallet. At first, I thought it was just another confused memory, which is common in patients with dementia. But something about it felt different. Most patients who think something is missing or stolen get very anxious, but he wasn't upset. He said it calmly, and he kept repeating the same story the whole weekend, with the same exact details every time. That's unusual, because people with memory problems usually change parts of the story or forget they've already told it. What really stood out was the way he told it. The way he described the event and the feeling behind his words made me almost certain it was a real memory, and that it was probably related to a racially motivated attack. The timing, the tone, and how clearly he remembered it gave me chills. He seemed like someone who had carried this with him for a long time and just wanted to finally let it out. He had a quiet, respectful manner. From the outside, he was a kind, family man from the Midwest. But it was clear something had happened that night with his friends that haunted him. I've been a nurse for 15 years. I started out working in a locked dementia unit, and even went through a week-long certification to become a trainer in dementia care. I know how to tell when someone is just stuck in a memory loop or living in their own version of reality. But this wasn't that. He wasn't confused. He was reliving something real. I'll never forget him, or that room, or the feeling I had listening to him. I've cared for thousands of patients and been there for over 100 final moments, but this is the one that still stays with me. Story 19. This isn't really a confession, but it happened right before my grandmother passed away. As she was nearing the end, she began listing names. Some were people she was thankful for, people who had helped her during her life. Others were people who had treated her badly. She made sure my dad heard every name and remembered them. My grandmother was incredibly strong. She lived through some of the darkest parts of history, like the Japanese occupation during World War II, the Chinese Civil War, and the Cultural Revolution. She had experienced more than most people ever will. I like to believe this was her way of making sure no one who hurt her would be completely forgotten, even by time. It was as if not even passing away would let those people escape her memory. And if you're into Star Trek, yes, this really did feel like something out of a Cardassian story. Story 20. During a time when my country was going through a civil war, there was a little girl, around 6 years old, who lived near my grandmother. One day, she was bitten by a dog that had rabies. Sadly, there was no way to give her the vaccine in time, and she began to show signs of the illness. Once symptoms start, there's no cure, and the disease becomes very serious and painful. The doctor and the family made a heartbreaking decision. They believed the kindest thing to do was to let her go peacefully to avoid more suffering. My grandmother was just a teenager at the time, but she never forgot it. She remembered seeing the family walking down the street, all crying. The father was carrying the little girl. She was trying to eat a piece of bread, but she couldn't swallow it. There was a bit of foam around her mouth. It was something that stayed with my grandmother for the rest of her life. Story 21. Kind of a deathbed confession, but stretched out over about a year before he passed. My neighbor was a very smart and very private man. Then he had a stroke and developed something called atypical aphasia. Usually with aphasia, a person has trouble speaking. But in his case, he couldn't stop talking. And it wasn't just random words. He had to communicate clearly about real things with anyone nearby. That's when we learned he used to work on a highly secret program for the U.S. military involving biological research. He had an incredible memory. He could recall names, dates, amounts, instructions, everything. And he talked about it all day, every day. He felt driven to share it. At one point, even the local TV station sent a team to record him. I listened to him for a while, but it was intense, non-stop information, no break, no filter. I couldn't last more than a few hours. Looking back, I probably should have written things down. I do miss him. He was a fascinating person with a story most people never got to hear. Story 22. When my grandpa was nearing the end of his life, he shared something I had never heard before. He told me that my grandma had been upset with him for many years because not long after they got married, he made a move on a woman who was staying with them, a woman who had been through a very difficult time. She was someone my grandma had kindly invited into their home to help her get back on her feet. Hearing that he had done something like that shocked me. I had no idea. He said it so casually, like it wasn't a big deal, and even joked, "I was thinking with the wrong head." It really bothered me. I completely understand why my grandma was hurt and held on to that feeling for so long. It was wrong in so many ways. Story 23. A few years ago, my mom knew a woman who had been told she had late-stage cancer. Before she passed away, she shared something shocking with her husband. She told him that all three of their sons were not actually his biological children. Their real father was her own father. The boys were about 10, 8, and 7 years old at the time. After the woman passed away, the husband had DNA tests done. The results showed he wasn't the biological father, and confirmed that the boy's biological father was their grandfather on their mother's side. The woman's father, who was in his 70s, was arrested and later sent to prison, where he eventually passed away. Even after learning the truth, the husband chose to continue raising the boys as his own. He said he had noticed early on that there was something different about them. For example, they didn't seem to react to pain like other kids. At the time, he didn't think much of it, but it made more sense looking back. Story 24. I'm not sure if I have every detail exactly right since this is a third-hand story, but it stuck with me. It's not super disturbing, just wild. One of my aunt's friends was suddenly told she only had 3 months left to live. A lot of people came to visit her in the hospital, including her best friend. When they were alone, she asked her friend to close the curtains and sit beside her. She said she had something important to say. Her friend was confused but listened. The woman then told her that she had been secretly involved with her best friend's husband for over 30 years. She said it was still going on, and she begged for forgiveness. She said she couldn't leave this world without telling the truth. Her friend didn't say a word. She just got up and quietly left the room. Just moments later, a doctor walked in and told the woman there had been a mix-up with the medical files. She was completely healthy and could go home. Yeah, yikes. Story 25. I used to work as a hospice nurse, and there's one story I'll never forget. I was caring for an older man in his 80s who had serious liver cancer. He had been a heavy drinker for most of his life, and the disease had spread to his stomach and bones. The pain was tough to manage, but we had just moved him to fentanyl patches, which helped ease his suffering. He was in that in-between place, sometimes peaceful from the medicine, sometimes in a lot of pain. Even in situations like that, you sometimes get surprising moments of clarity. One nurse once told us about a woman who had been bedridden for a month. Usually when someone goes to bed, in these cases, they don't really come back. But during a family meeting, that woman suddenly sat up and said, "I've been talking with the administrator, and he told me everything's going to be fine." Then she lay down again and passed away. So while we're always on alert, these moments still surprise you. With this man, it happened just like that. He sat straight up and looked around. Then, no joke, I thought I heard a soft drumbeat, and he suddenly yelled, "I like to move it, move it." And then he sang the whole song, word for word. His entire family joined in like a group of backup singers. It was one of the most unexpected and joyful things I've ever seen. One of those magical moments that's hard to explain unless you were there. Story 26. This happened right after we were called to help an elderly man who had passed away in his living room. He was lying on his back, and his wife asked if she could say goodbye. She gently got down on the floor next to him, kissed his forehead, and told him, "You did good." She thanked him for everything over the years, for his love, his care, and their life together. She kissed him again and repeated, "You did good." Then I helped her up. She and the neighbor went to sit in the other room and began talking about what a wonderful man he was. It was simple, quiet, and one of the most touching moments I've seen. Story 27. I used to work as an in-home caregiver for people with disabilities. One man I helped was in his 80s. He didn't need medical care, just help with everyday things like cooking, cleaning, and getting to appointments. He had some memory and behavior issues, especially with impulse control. He would sometimes say inappropriate things to women, take things from stores without paying, or suddenly walk off and need to be gently guided back home. One evening, we were sitting on his porch when he asked me the date. After I told him, he got quiet and emotional. He said that day was the anniversary of when he lost his family. I already knew he didn't have any family who visited him. He had been in care for many years. I'd seen obituaries in his house. Only one even mentioned him. It seemed like his family had cut ties a long time ago. That evening, he shared something that shook me. He said that when he was a teenager, he had acted inappropriately toward his younger sister. And when she told someone, he hurt her badly. He described burying her near a roadside sign, remembered the dress she was wearing, and said things like, "Mom was never the same after that, and Dad tried to hurt me when they found out." I'll never know for sure if it was a real memory or something his mind created because of his condition. But unlike his usual made-up or mixed-up stories, this one felt real. The way he told it, it was different. He passed away a couple of weeks later. And that story has stayed with me ever since. Story 28. This didn't happen on her deathbed, but it was shared near the end of her life. My great-grandmother was born in 1904 and married a man who passed away in 1936. Toward the end of her life, she told us that he had been a high-ranking member of a hate group in Springfield, Missouri, and that he had taken part in at least two violent events targeting black individuals. She even said he kept a pair of shoes from one of the victims because he thought they were too good for someone like him. My great-grandmother was a complicated person. She held some very outdated and offensive views herself. Yet strangely, she also loved watching TV shows with mostly black casts, like The Jeffersons, Good Times, and Sanford and Son. I've never really been able to understand how those two sides of her could exist at the same time. She passed away in 1994, and I still think about the things she said, and how confusing and troubling they were. Story 29. My wife is a doctor who works with older adults, and she once shared this unforgettable story with me. She had a patient who was known by everyone as a kind, graceful woman. Her children and their families were all very successful people living in Melbourne, Australia, a lawyer, a doctor, a university dean. You get the picture, a well-put-together, accomplished family. As this woman's dementia got worse, she began having frightening hallucinations and started talking about intense and violent things that didn't seem to fit with the person everyone thought they knew. Her family was confused and unsettled by the sudden change. After she passed away, her oldest son sat down with the rest of the family and explained something they had never been told. When their mother was a teenager in East London, she had been taken by a gang leader and forced to live as his partner for several years. During that time, she learned how his world worked, how to survive in it, and eventually, how to take control. She became powerful enough to take over the gang, shut it down, and take the money he had built up. She then used that to escape to Australia, where she created a brand new life. Through hard work and determination, she raised a family that would go on to live successful, respected lives, leaving that dark past completely behind. It was a part of her life no one had known. And in the end, she had transformed something painful into something remarkable for future generations. Story 30. My parents both used to smoke. My mom really wanted to quit, but didn't feel strong enough to do it on her own. So she asked my dad to quit with her. He agreed and gave it up 43 years ago. He's 80 now. My mom kept trying. Sometimes she'd say she made it a few days, or even a couple of weeks. But 13 years later, she passed away from something not related to smoking, without ever fully quitting. Before she passed, she shared something with my dad. She told him, "All those times I said I had quit for days or weeks, I never actually made it a full day. It's been 30 years now, and I still miss her deeply. It's not a dark story, but it always brings tears to my eyes, even now." Story 31. A man who was in hospice care for cancer called his children to visit him a day or two before he passed. While they were there, he shared something shocking. He admitted that he had caused their mother's death, a woman who had been reported missing over 30 years earlier. According to what he told them, he had carefully planned it out. His wife was supposed to go on a trip, and during that time, he ended her life. He then used a machine to break down her remains and scattered them into a stream on their property. After that, he burned the machine and later reported it damaged to collect insurance money. When his wife didn't come back from her trip, he told the police she had gone missing. His children had no idea any of this had happened. If he hadn't confessed, no one likely would have ever known the truth. I wasn't there when he told his family, but I was part of the team that helped carry out search warrants on the property after the kids went to the state police. It's a story I won't forget. Story 32. Ours is a bit of a twisty story. My dad passed away last year, and about a month later, one of his cousins did too. Before she passed, she told my mom something she felt someone needed to know. My grandfather had a secret second family. She was the last person alive who knew and didn't want the truth to disappear completely. Turns out, my dad did know, but he had planned to keep it to himself. His mother had told him about it when she was near the end of her life and made him promise not to tell anyone. The cousin had only found out because, back in the 1950s, after attending a funeral together, my grandfather made a stop on the way home to quietly drop off some money with this other family. The cousin happened to be in the car and never forgot. With that information, my mom and I started putting the pieces together. Eventually, we tracked down this previously unknown part of our family. We reached out, and they were just as surprised as we were. They turned out to be kind people, and one of my half-cousins is actually a successful gospel singer. It's not a dark story, really, but it's now my go-to example when I say that Southern families are often built on long-held secrets. Story 33. My grandma once had a brother, but he disappeared one day and was believed to have passed away. No one knew what happened to him, until 40 years later, when my grandpa was near the end of his life and shared the truth. He admitted that he had caused the man's death. One night, both of them had been drinking too much, and they got into a heated argument. Her brother told my grandpa that he never liked him and said his sister deserved someone better. My grandpa, full of anger and not thinking clearly, hit him hard during the fight. A few hours later, my grandpa realized what had happened. Scared and not knowing what to do, he took the body into the forest and never told anyone. This happened long ago in a small village in the Soviet Union, so there was little chance anyone would find out. He carried that guilt for the rest of his life and only spoke about it right before he passed away. Story 34. My mother passed away suddenly. When I had to go through her house, I found a box filled with her journals, drawings, and photos. What I found in that box led me to start 2 years of therapy. I already knew my childhood was hard. I remembered many painful things, but whenever I tried to talk about them, my mom would say I was making it up, that I was confused and just repeating stories I had heard from other people. Finding her journals was both comforting and painful. On one hand, they confirmed that the things I remembered really happened. But on the other hand, I also found out about many things I had no idea about, things that were even worse than what I remembered. The hardest part was realizing that my mom wasn't just a bystander. She was the one behind much of the harm, and she even gained something from it. I found photos that were very upsetting. It felt like everything I had worked to heal from came rushing back again. It was a lot to process, and it still affects me. Story 35. I'm a nurse, and I've been doing this work for a long time. When I first started out, I worked in long-term care, not because I chose it, but because it was the only job I could get at the time. After reading some other stories, I've realized that two of the women I cared for might have been sharing their final confessions with me instead of their families. Compared to some stories, these were gentle, but they've stayed with me. The first woman came from a wealthy family and had lots of relatives who loved her. Her confession was that she had struggled with alcohol for many years and had hidden it from everyone around her. She carried a lot of quiet guilt, even though her family never knew. The second woman's story was a little more personal. Her first husband had treated her very badly. She eventually tried to leave him and began a relationship with one of his friends. Out of her 7 children, she told me that 4 were actually from that friend. One night, she left her home with nothing but the clothes she was wearing and started a new life with the man she truly loved. They stayed together until he passed away from cancer. She told me she couldn't wait for her time to come so she could see him again. Those moments reminded me how deeply people hold on to their stories, and how sometimes they just need someone to listen. Story 36. My mom was dying, and the hospice team told me the end was near. 3 days had passed since she slipped into a coma, no food, no water. The hospice nurse, who had worked in the field for over 20 years, said it seemed like my mom was holding on for someone. All of us had already said our goodbyes, so we figured it had to be our dad. He was the love of her life, even though he left her at age 41 with 5 kids, for a much younger woman who had been his nurse. I was just 1 year old at the time, and the only girl. Growing up, I only saw them together at weddings or funerals, and it always felt tense. My 4 older brothers had stepped in and raised me like dads. I talked to my brothers, and they agreed I should call our father. We thought maybe if he could say goodbye, and say sorry, it might help her let go. I told him, "Say whatever is in your heart. This is your last chance." He agreed, so I held the phone to my mom's ear and laid my head on hers, just in case things went badly. I wasn't sure what he'd say, since they hadn't gotten along in years. At first, he was quiet. "Sorry to hear you're not doing well." Then his voice changed, and all his feelings came out. He told her, "I never stopped loving you. You were the best thing that ever happened to me. You raised 5 amazing kids on your own. I was going through a hard time, and I wish I had just said I'm sorry." As he spoke, I felt my mom move. She hadn't moved at all in 3 days. I sat up and saw her lips trembling. A tear rolled down her cheek. Worried she was upset, I gently took the phone away, thanked my dad, and hung up, crying my eyes out. She passed away 15 minutes later. That day taught me the biggest lesson my father ever could: the power of saying, "I'm sorry." Don't let pride keep you from speaking the truth. And take a moment before making choices you might regret for the rest of your life. So much time was lost, all because those words were never spoken, until it was almost too late. Story 37. This isn't really a confession, since he didn't do anything wrong, but it stayed with me. When I was 18, I worked as a CNA and cared for a very kind elderly man who was on hospice. He chose to be in our facility because he didn't want his family to go through the stress of caring for him at the end of his life. I worked with him every shift for over a month, and we became close. I've always had a good connection with older people, especially since I was very close to my grandparents and great-grandma. He was a veteran from World War II. As he got closer to the end, he began wanting to talk about his time in the war. He told me he had never shared these stories with his family because he didn't want to burden them, but he just needed someone to listen. I told him I didn't mind at all, and after my shift one evening, I sat with him and made him some tea. He told me he had been a boat pilot during the landing at Omaha Beach on D-Day. His job was to carry soldiers to shore. He said it was the hardest thing he ever did, knowing that many of the young men on board wouldn't survive. He remembered their fear, how many got sick from nerves, and then having to clean the boat afterward. He said he carried that guilt for the rest of his life, feeling like he had delivered them to their deaths. I didn't know exactly what to say, but I just listened. Then I thanked him for being brave and told him that those men wouldn't want him to feel guilty, that he had done his part, and that they would be waiting to see him again someday, ready to thank him. I hope it brought him some peace. I think about him often. Story 38. In the early 1900s, my grandfather, who was English, was the oldest son in his family. That meant he was supposed to take over the family business, a chain of green grocery stores. One of those stores is still around today. But when he was 20, he felt called to follow his faith and decided to travel to India to become a missionary. He wasn't part of the main church in England, so he didn't get a salary. Instead, he lived off donations. He was known to be very strict with his family because of his strong beliefs. For his whole life, over 60 years, he was completely devoted to his faith and talked often about how excited he was to go to heaven. But on his deathbed, at age 85, he told my father that he didn't believe in God anymore. It might not be shocking to everyone, but for someone who spent most of his life focused on his faith, letting go of it right at the end must have felt like his whole world was falling apart. I can only imagine how scary and lonely that moment must have been for him. Story 39. When my dad was dying, I was 37 years old. Before he passed, he finally admitted to the years of harm and neglect he caused because of his drinking. He apologized. It honestly broke my heart. He looked so small and weak, and you could see how hard it was for him to say those words. It was painful to watch. Part of me wishes he hadn't said anything. Watching him pass away was already hard, but seeing the sadness and shame in his eyes made it even worse. He looked so broken. It really hurt. I know people usually share dramatic or shocking stories, but this is the one that stays with me. I forgave him long before he ever said sorry, but I still think about the look in his eyes. Just adding this part. After he died, I did an ancestry DNA test. He had been adopted as a child and knew who his birth mother was. She went on to have many kids, so I always knew I had relatives out in California. I've connected with some of them since then. His birth mother passed away when I was 9, in a tragic situation involving one of her other children. One of the reasons I waited until after he passed to do the DNA test was because I'm still not sure whether I have half-siblings out there, maybe even in places like Germany. And honestly, I'm not completely sure he wasn't involved in more serious things during his life. But now he's gone, and there's not much left to do but move forward. Tools. Story 40. During a college break, I spent a few weeks with a friend in her hometown. Her grandfather was very sick and close to the end, so we spent a lot of time at his house. Some days he was clear-minded, but other times he would talk to people who weren't there or drift into old memories. He had served in the Navy during World War II. One day, he shared something heavy. He said he was stationed on an island somewhere between Hawaii and Japan. His group's job was to secretly watch the Japanese military. According to him, the Japanese didn't know the U.S. had people there. He said that one day, they saw Japanese planes heading toward Pearl Harbor. But they weren't allowed to warn anyone. His commanders told them not to send a message because it would reveal their location. Keeping their mission secret was considered more important at the time. I can't say for sure if the story was true, but when he told us, he was filled with guilt. You could see how much it weighed on him, even after all those years. Story 41. When my great-grandfather, who helped raise me, was on his deathbed, he revealed something I'll never forget. He admitted he never loved my grandmother. He told us that every time he accidentally ran over her foot with his heavy wheelchair and acted confused while she cried out in pain, it wasn't an accident. He did it on purpose. He also said that when he got aggressive and blamed it on being drunk, he wasn't really that out of control. He just wanted to hurt her. He even admitted that when she fell one time and hit her head, he had pushed her and truly meant to cause serious harm. Every time she had a health scare, he secretly hoped she wouldn't recover. Honestly, I'm glad he passed away when he did, because hearing that made me incredibly angry. He was cruel to me, to his own children, and to almost everyone in our family. I remember being a kid and feeling like he was always looking for an excuse to hurt me. It wasn't discipline, it was something darker. What's even harder to understand is that my grandmother still misses him. She still grieves for him. But to me, he was never a kind person. I don't think I'll ever forgive him for what he did. Story 42. This isn't a deathbed confession, but something I heard from other family members. When my great-grandfather passed away, the family gathered and started sharing stories about him. Some were light and funny, but then one story came up that changed the way I saw everything. I don't remember who started it, but several relatives began jumping in with more details. They told a story from the late 1930s in a small town in Texas. My great-grandfather and a group of his friends were driving around, drinking and hitting mailboxes with baseball bats. Then they saw a black man walking down the road. Some said he was someone they went to high school with, while others said he was older. As they drove past, my great-grandfather hit the man in the head with the bat, just like they had been doing to the mailboxes. The man died instantly. They went straight to the police station, and instead of being arrested, the officers shook their hands and let them go. No consequences. No justice. What upset me even more was how some of the people telling the story seemed proud of it. I was 14 at the time, and I remember just sitting there, feeling shocked and sick inside. Since then, I've only kept in touch with my grandfather, and only to say Merry Christmas and thank him for sending a card. I haven't spoken to the others. I can't forget that moment, and I don't want to be part of a family that treats something so awful like a joke. Story 43. It's not exactly a confession, but it's something my grandfather could have kept secret forever if no one had gone looking. He passed away about a year after my grandmother did. While my mom was going through their things and cleaning out the house, she found out something surprising. Her parents had gotten married after they found out they were expecting her. But for their entire lives, they had told everyone a different story. They celebrated their anniversary on a fake date, year after year, for over 60 years. It was all to make it seem like my mom had been born about 9 months after they got married. When my mom found out, it really shook her. It wasn't that the truth was so terrible. It was that the lie had been kept up so perfectly for so long. It made her question what else might have been changed or hidden just to keep up appearances. She's still struggling with it years later. It was one of those small discoveries that completely changed how she viewed her life and her parents. Story 44. Maybe it's not the most disturbing story out there, but Aleister Crowley saying, "I am confused," right before he passed has a strange kind of irony to it. He spent his whole life trying to figure out the universe, using drugs, strange rituals, and deep spiritual practices. He claimed to see beyond reality, to understand things most people couldn't. Yet in his final moment, he was just like everyone else, unsure and lost. There's something unsettling about that. Someone who believed they had all the answers still couldn't face the end with peace. It makes you wonder, if someone who dedicated their life to preparing for that moment couldn't handle it, what chance does anyone else have? On a personal note, I had a moment like that with my grandfather. Not long before he passed, he admitted to having another family and a child he left behind long before starting a new life with my dad's side of the family. That stuck with me. It's just one of the many reasons I've always struggled with trust. If someone that close could hide something so big for so long, it really makes you question what you can believe about people and the world. Story 45. I work as an ER nurse, and a couple of months ago there was a huge crash on the highway involving around 20 cars. No one knew exactly who caused it, and because of that, there was a lot of confusion about whose insurance would pay for everything. Many people were seriously hurt, and the cost of care was really high. Most insurance plans only covered part of the bills, and families were worried about how they'd afford everything. One of the patients was an older man who had been in the car with his wife. Sadly, she passed away at the scene. He was badly injured too, and in what ended up being his final moments, he looked at me and asked me to tell everyone that it was his fault. He said his insurance was excellent and would cover more than most others. He wanted to take the blame so the other people involved would be taken care of. It wasn't a dark or shocking moment, but it really stuck with me. He chose to carry the burden just to help others, even while dealing with his own pain. I think that says a lot about the kind of person he was. Story 46. I'm a trauma and ER nurse, and I once helped care for a man who came into our trauma bay after a really serious accident. He was in his early 40s and had been hit by a motorcycle while changing a tire on the side of the road. He was working at the time, doing something like roadside assistance. The motorcyclist was thrown about 20 feet and sadly didn't survive. The man we treated had lost one leg below the knee completely, and the other was almost gone, hanging on by just a bit of tissue. Luckily, the crash happened just a block from a fire station, and the EMS crew actually heard it happen. They were there in seconds, literally about 30 seconds after it happened, and had already applied 2 tourniquets. The man was awake and talking when he got to us. We started giving him emergency blood right away and rushed him to surgery. As we were taking him up to the operating room, he looked me in the eyes and said, "I need you to tell my wife where my will is." I tried to reassure him, typical nurse talk like, "You're going to be okay, just hang in there." But he stopped me right away and said firmly, "No, listen to me. I'm not going to make it. She will never find it unless you tell her." He told me it was hidden under a loose wooden plank in the corner of the master bedroom closet, under the carpet. I told him I'd only share the message if he didn't make it. He nodded. Sadly, he passed away during surgery. Later, I went to the waiting room, where a large group of his family was gathered. I quietly asked someone to point out his wife. I pulled her aside and told her who I was and what he said. She broke down crying and said, "Why would he hide it? We don't have much, and we just bought this house 3 months ago." Turns out, he had about $85,000 in savings, mostly bonds and CDs. The will had all the account numbers and passwords. That hidden document helped her unlock everything he had saved. On top of that, she later received $250,000 from the motorcyclist's insurance and $750,000 from a workplace insurance claim, because the accident happened while he was on the job. The lawyer who helped her was someone I knew. He saved her with that one message. Even in his final moments, he was thinking about her future. It's something I'll never forget. Story 47. When my grandfather was a teenager, he got kicked in the groin by a cow. Later, he found out the injury had made him unable to have children. But instead of sharing that with my grandmother's family, he waited until after their arranged marriage was finalized. He'd actually had another marriage proposal fall apart because he shared that detail too early. So the second time around, he kept quiet. Since they still wanted to have children, my grandfather made an unusual agreement with his sister and her husband. Her husband would help my grandmother conceive. That's how my dad was born, and then about a year later, my aunt. The four of them, my grandparents and my great aunt and her husband, agreed to keep the secret between them, and that whoever lived the longest would be the one to tell the truth someday. But then DNA testing became more common. We started noticing that things didn't quite add up, and when we asked my grandmother, the last one alive, she finally told us the whole story. She never planned to say anything. If we hadn't asked, we might have never known. Story 48. I used to work in end-of-life care. I've seen a lot of things, but one experience has stayed with me. There was a small, frail man I cared for who didn't have any family or loved ones left. In his final days, he often asked me to sit and talk with him. One day, during one of our talks, he became quiet. Then his eyes filled with tears, and he began to open up. He told me about things he had experienced while serving in World War II, things he had never shared with anyone before. What he described was hard to hear. It was clear these memories had weighed on him his whole life. He spoke of moments during the war that were especially dark, being ordered to leave no one behind on the battlefield, witnessing a flamethrower tank explode with people still nearby, seeing surrendering soldiers run over during combat, and watching a close friend lose his life after they had switched positions just minutes earlier. One of the hardest memories for him was having to inspect those who had passed, many of them civilians, for hidden dangers, and then being ordered to handle what was left behind. He spoke in a quiet, broken voice. It was clear he had carried all this pain alone for decades. He just needed someone to hear it, one last time. I'll never forget the look in his eyes. Not because of what he saw, but because he had to carry it for so long in silence. Story 49. When my grandmother was on her deathbed, she told my dad a very detailed story from her childhood. She said her cousin had been brought into the kitchen and laid on the table. He had been shot by government agents who were trying to stop illegal alcohol production. She was just a kid at the time and said she couldn't stop staring at the blood coming from his ears. It had stayed in her memory her whole life. We later found out that this was actually a well-known story from that time. Her cousin was only 18, and the event caused a lot of public anger because many people didn't see making and selling homemade alcohol as a serious crime. So when a young person was killed over it, people were shocked. As it turns out, my family has ties to some of the more well-known moonshine-making families from back in the day. Story 50. My former wife's grandfather shared something with the family 2 days before he passed away. Many years ago, when he and his first wife were going through a rough time and had separated, they had 5 kids together. He had a relationship with his secretary. After some time apart, he and his wife decided to try again, and he moved back home. The secretary moved away, and they lost contact. A few years later, the relationship with his wife ended for good, and somehow he reconnected with the same woman, his former secretary. They ended up getting married and built a long, happy life together. He retired early, and the two of them spent nearly 50 years side by side. They had a wonderful life. A few years ago, she passed away. After that, someone in the family came to him and said they had done a DNA test and discovered a surprise, a half-sibling. It turned out the secretary had been pregnant when she moved away all those years ago. She gave the baby up for adoption and never told him about it. He found all this out just weeks before he passed. He never reached out to the child, who is now an adult. I was honestly shocked. They had always been such kind, loving people to me, even after I divorced their granddaughter. I never would have expected something like this. It's hard to understand how someone could keep something so important a secret, especially from the person they chose to spend their whole life with. It's the kind of thing that stays with you. Story 51. My great-grandfather owned a business that's still in our family today. At some point, he chose to leave my grandfather out of his will. When my great-grandfather was near the end of his life, he asked his wife, his second wife, to call his lawyer. She believed he wanted to add my grandfather back into the will, which could have meant her own children might get less or even nothing from the company. So she didn't call the lawyer. Because of that, my grandfather stayed out of the will. While he did okay in life, he didn't have nearly the same wealth or opportunities as the rest of the family who inherited the business, and neither did we. Sometimes I wonder how different our lives might have been if things had gone another way. But part of me also wonders if, in some strange way, my great-step-grandmother might have actually done us a favor. Story 52. When I was near the end of my life, I ended up sharing a lot of heavy things. Things I'd held in for years. I had been really sick for a long time, with end-stage cystic fibrosis. My lung function was down to around 11%, and I had been waiting to be listed for a transplant for 5 years. Because I was always so focused on staying alive, on treatments like my feeding tube, breathing machines, foreign oral medications, I never had the space or energy to talk about the trauma and pain I carried with me. So when it finally started to come out, it wasn't neat or planned. It was messy, emotional, and overwhelming. I could tell it really shook the people around me, my friends and family. But I had been holding it in for so long, and I was running out of time. It's hard to explain how painful it is to be at the edge of your life and realize there's so much you never said. Things you were too afraid to speak out loud. I don't know what I expected from finally letting it out, but I do know it mattered, even if it was hard. Story 53. I found out I have at least 5 half-siblings, not including the one half-brother I always knew about. And the only reason I ever knew about him is because my mom tried to adopt him when he was a teenager. Until something happened that changed everything. When I was just a few weeks old, he tried to hurt me. After that, the adoption didn't go through. There's been a lot of strange and difficult stuff in my family. So much of it I didn't ask to know, but it still found its way to me. Because of that, I'm honestly scared to take any kind of DNA test. I feel like I've already learned more than I ever wanted to, and I'm not sure I could handle knowing more. Story 54. One day, a coworker came in and casually said, "Yeah, my great-grandma passed away. We're in the Midwest, and apparently, she lived to be 100. From what he said, she had a kid at 17, her daughter had a kid at 18, and then her daughter had a kid at 16, if I'm remembering the ages right. The generations happened fast." Then he added something wild. His great-grandmother told the family that the reason she never went back to Kentucky was because she had secretly ended the lives of 3 out of her 7 husbands. According to her, she had put crushed glass in their food. She said they were all abusive and that no one really missed them, so nothing was ever investigated. It was one of those stories that left everyone speechless. Whether true or not, it definitely left a mark. Story 55. When I was last in the hospital, the man in the bed next to me was very sick from liver failure. He knew he didn't have much time left, and he started talking to me about something he said happened earlier in his life. He told me that years ago, he was driving carelessly and ended up hitting and killing someone, a woman. He said he panicked and thought he might get in less trouble if it looked like he had been drinking. He happened to have an unopened bottle of whiskey with him that was meant as a gift, so he sat there and drank it before the police arrived. Then he pretended to be unconscious. He claimed that by doing this, he got a lighter punishment. I don't know if the story was true. I didn't really believe him at the time, and even now, I'm not sure what to think. But I've never forgotten it. Story 56. This isn't really a confession, but when my great-grandfather passed away and we were cleaning out his property, we made a surprising discovery. He had 3 sheds, and in one of them, we found it was packed full of old weapons and supplies from World War II. Things like grenades, bullets, and other military gear. The whole shed was full. We had to call the authorities, and the bomb squad came out to handle it. They closed off the house and even the street while they safely removed everything. His kind, quiet neighbors had no idea what was happening. They were all outside wondering what was going on. It was the last thing anyone expected from a man who seemed so ordinary. Story 57. My partner is an ICU nurse and has heard many stories over the years, but one really stayed with me. It wasn't shocking, it was just deeply sad. She was caring for a man near the end of his life. He had a loving wife and 2 wonderful adult daughters. One night, when he was restless from discomfort, my partner sat with him. Out of the blue, he began to talk about something from his youth. He told her that when he was a young man in post-war England, he started working at a factory. There, he saw the daughter of the factory owner, someone he instantly fell in love with. He was too shy to talk to her at first, but he said he was completely drawn to her. Everything about her felt magical. Eventually, as he moved up in the company, he finally got the courage to speak to her. They got along well. He became even more attached, saying he could barely eat or sleep because of how strong his feelings were. After months of smiles and short chats, he decided to ask her out. He dressed nicely and brought flowers to her father's home. When he arrived, the house was full of people. Her father came out, saw the flowers, and thanked him kindly. He led him through the house to a garden party. The man was confused but kept going. When he saw the girl, he tried to say hello, only to hear her introduce another man as her fiancé. It was her engagement party. Heartbroken, he quietly left. That night, he said he cried, drank, and thought about doing something dramatic to win her back, but didn't. He continued working at the factory for a couple more years. She got married. He did too, and soon had his first daughter. But every time he saw her, it hurt. He said he sometimes cried in the bathroom at work after seeing her. He told himself he wasn't good enough for her, that maybe wealth and success would change that. So he left the factory, started his own company, and became successful. He had another daughter and built a good life with his kind, patient wife. He lost contact with the girl from the factory, though occasionally saw her father at events. He admitted that sometimes even seeing her dad made his heart skip, only to feel crushed again. Once, after hearing her husband had passed away, he drove 2 hours in the snow to see her, but couldn't bring himself to knock on the door. Instead, he stopped at a nearby bar he used to go to. Some old friends were there and started talking with him. After a few drinks, he looked across the room, and there she was, still beautiful, still her. He walked up and quietly said hello. She smiled politely and said, "Of course, how have you been?" He tried to find the words. But then she said, "I'm sorry, John, I'd love to talk, but I have things to take care of." His name wasn't John. It was James. He went home to his wife and lived another 30 to 40 years. He never saw the woman again, but he said he thought about her every day. He wrote her hundreds of letters, letters he never sent. He sealed them in envelopes and kept them hidden in his study. He said all the money and success he chased in life was really just to feel good enough for someone he never truly got the chance to know. When he passed, he left everything to his wife and daughters. But he also left a small wooden box and its key with his lawyer. No one knows what was inside. His wife never found out, and we don't know if it was meant to be passed on to someone else. It's not a scary story, but it is heartbreaking. A life full of love, silence, and missed chances.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp.